Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Want to stay up to date on the biggest stories in pop culture and entertainment? Then be sure to check out the TMZ podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton from TMZ, the TV show, and every day I'll sit down with a member of our news team to give exclusive breakdowns of the day's most talked about headlines, stories we break, and the stories you care about. So check out the TMZ podcast, Monday through Friday, and the other podcasts from the TMZ audio network like Last Days and TMZ Verified, available on all podcast platforms.
In 3, 2, 1... Welcome to a bonus episode of TWBD. That's There Will Be Dungeons. And it's for the month of April. We're actually recording this on the 26th. That means you find folks who support us as a Dungeons Plus member, get it right away. In fact, you'll get it today. Everyone else, you got to wait a week. So if this is a week later and you're now getting it, you're wondering, how do I get this early? Head on over to therewillbedungeons.com and sign up and get it faster and more cool stuff by becoming a member. All right, we're going to dive right in, get straight to it. Kristen has the questions. We have the answers, potentially. Kristen, take it away.
All right. This first one, we're taking kind of a step back in time, a little revisit, so I can clarify the question because I didn't make it as clear as it could have been. So this question is specifically for Kristen, Kyle, and John. Do any of you also enjoy a more rigidly understood tabletop experience where things align more with D&D or other tabletop rules, with rules as written?
So, like, hardcore, like, by the rule, by the letter rules.
I think there's kind of two parts here. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but where things align more with D&D, I'm wondering if that might mean, you know, more of a traditional D&D setting in addition to the rules question. And so I actually get to play in one that's more, it's still homebrew, but it's definitely a little more high fantasy. And I can't say that I prefer it. Like, you get something out of both. Like, Bo's world and the world in this other game are so vastly different that the way I play in both gets to be completely different. And I really enjoy that. I like that every table can be different. I tend to think, as far as rules go, I tend to think more rules is written. So I'll be sitting here quietly thinking, okay, here's what I'm going to do when it's my turn. And I might get a creative idea and go, that's not in the rules. And then I don't do it. So I tend to kind of play that way, but I don't want to play that way. I just kind of by default do it. And so when I hear, because Kyle's very good at coming up with these very cool ideas and he just throwing them out there and being like, I don't know, let's try it. Let's see what happens. And I always get jealous of him because Varel always has these really cool moments as a result of it. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually an area I want to step out of. I want to try and do more creative, fun things.
I mean, that's kind of my fault for being a DM and testing the DM, right? Like, I'm kind of pulling Varel, so unoptimized, surely I wrestled 5 monkeys to get here. Now he'll let me do this massive damage turn since I was such a boob before.
I mean, I like watching, I don't know. I like watching creative stuff happen that no one thought of that may only work if Bo sees a glimpse of, like, ooh, that would be interesting for this story, so we're going to bend this direction and allow this in. Like, just from that standpoint, I love how that happens to us. I think it's cool.
But there's also the element of it that we can't really share or talk about Bo's world because it's so homebrew. Like, it'd be really fun to play Curse of Strahd with y'all. Mm-hmm. And then people, listeners, you know, joining in could be like, oh man, I remember the two-headed guy in the House of Death, like that. Wow, that's how they handled it. Well, that's so weird. And like, raw has its place, And it'd be really fun to do like a module, like an official module as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm into it.
Awesome. Cool.
Wait, what about you, Kristen?
Yeah.
You know. Sorry. I'm just trying to move on to the next question. It depends on how much prep time there is, because currently, for some reason or another, I don't have too much prep time to really study up rules and make sure. So thank you both for being very, not wishy-washy, but I guess lackadaisical when I'm like, can I do this thing? All right, let's kind of figure out how to make it happen, because I'm bouncing a baby on one knee and I'm rolling dice on the other.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak for anyone else, but I often feel like someone who doesn't do their homework enough. That makes sense. So I'm not going to judge anyone else who didn't do their homework, which happens.
Sweet. Question time. Have any of you had glaring times when you thought, as a person, no, I shouldn't do that, but knew full well your character would, so you went ahead and suffered the consequences? If so, what were some of the big ones? I'm going to jump on this first. When Squirts killed the child.
Yep. This is a pretty good example.
Yep. Yep. I thought that at the time. I guarantee John has an answer to this, because it feels like you do this all the time. You're always like, well, I know what I'd do, but Stanley wouldn't, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Stanley's a lot like me. Stanley's like he started as kind of the bad angel on my shoulder, and he's kind of turned into the good angel on my shoulder, but he tends to make decisions I probably would anyway. Definitely deciding to kill that guy to make it look like an accident did not sit well with me.
It was like a year ago.
It was. It still bothers me. The night that I did it was the weirdest experience. I could not sleep. I had the sleep that could only be described as like telltale heart. I've done something I shouldn't have, and my conscience won't let me fall asleep. I had a really bad restless night the night I did that. That was a tough decision.
Maybe since we're in the Outer Planes, you could find his soul and apologize to him.
I don't know, maybe.
Just a thought.
Yeah, you go and find that guy, and boy, you should do that.
Burrell would love that. Stanley walks out of the room after, of course, having a night with What's-Her-Face.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Being like, guys, side quest, man. I don't want to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, Burrell loves when Stanley comes up with side quests with the group. It's his favorite.
I mean, okay, so I can answer for Nash. Nash does 100 things I would never do in real life, like
really,
he wanting to taste everything or take the pixie blush before anyone had a chance to explain it to him or any of that stuff. I'd never do that in real life. Like, I'm way over cautious. Stuff like that would gross me out. Like, there's no way I'd keep bat poo in my pockets. It's all Nash all the time when he makes those decisions. So yeah, he's really not like me much. At all.
In some ways, he's very much like
in
you.
Some ways. Like, there's a certain kind of, like, I don't know, sardonic kind of a-hole thing that I think it reflects me a little bit sometimes, but
the game's a bit of wish fulfillment and fantasy, so sometimes there's people that you would think you'd want to tell off that you don't bother that you can in the game.
Right, right, exactly. And that's all, yes, that is actually true. And also living out this fantasy of just this disgusting, spindly magic user with all this rancid history and all of this is just a fun way to, I don't know, be a thing. I'll never, you know, you can be this hero. I can be that thing safely and in a fantasy setting where I don't have to think about it in regular life. So I can just blow that part off that probably everybody has a little bit of dirty Nash in them. They just, you know, got to get it out somewhere.
I've got a meta version.
Okay.
So everyone in fantasy wants, like, oh yeah, like I hook up with the barmaid. So I get 6 satisfaction of Varel having 0 sexual interest.
Yeah, it's like, frustrating in that way. Yeah.
All right, like I'm sticking it to the RPG man, not Bo, just like the
but you are frustrating in that way. Not that I feel feelings for it, but I definitely am like, all right, let's try and I put some effort into trying to imagine a mate that Varel would find interesting, and you're always like, no. Or just situations, strip clubs, whatever. And yeah. you're constantly like, just like, no. And I'm like, all right.
Well, if you want, like, so I have a revelation. I have a revelation to make that's a little along those lines. And I don't know if I've told any of you guys this, but that one of the main reasons, probably 90% of the reason that there is a story about Nash Maggard losing his wiener and kicking it under the bed is because I didn't want to get put in scenarios where Bo was going to make me be sex man. Because I knew it was going to...
There was this whole huge movement, like unspoken movement of you avoiding simulated sex with me.
Yeah.
Not simulated sex, but you know what I mean? Just even the hint of like, I'm pretending I'm a girl. And you're like, oh, I'm.
Yeah, that's this. Where I was yeah. out because.
And, hearing, and hearing, you don't want me making this face.
Yeah. Having Bo make faces, having him make faces and being all like, yeah, I'm a lady voice for 10 minutes of a really awkward situation. Is horrific to me, but I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it because now, you know, then we've had some pretty funny stuff. You found a way around it with the freaking plant and the freaking, you know, wiener magic and all that. Yeah. That was pretty funny. So
I love that Bo took your plan and was like, oh yeah, check this out.
Yeah. It was a real challenge and you did
pretty
it.
Pretty much
figured out a way to do it. Now I'm married to her, so
look, you should read all the spells. So many of our problems in real life would be solved if those existed.
I know. So anyway, my goal originally was like, Bo, I am not going to get in some weird hot and heavy moment with Bo where I have to respond to Bo in some way that's anything other than disdain or laughter. And you still found a way to get my wiener out. So nice job.
I seduced you. You just admit it. But yeah, that's the question was characters doing things differently than the person. Did mm-hmm. we all answer?
Yeah.
Stanley, did you? Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah.
How about you, Bo, as a DM? Can you even, is that even an answerable question? Because you're not necessarily playing a character.
But... No, I can do anything and everything. The only thing that concerns me is just the threshold of consent and, you know, player comfortability and respect and all that.
Gotcha.
You know, I think about different things. Like, is this depiction going too far? Should I make casual jokes about rape? No, I should not. People did not like that.
No.
So that's more my my minefield, so to speak.
Sure.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. I know you, I mean, you were, it's not really, not so much a minefield, but this is a few weeks ago, so it was just as this whole pandemic thing was kind of just getting started. And you launched this into a part of the campaign where, you know, that became a theme for a little bit. And I know you were a little bit nervous about that. I think it turned out great and was... I don't know. It didn't feel weird to me at all.
Yeah, but I'm no trouble. I mean, that's what these bonus shows are for. So if you're subscribed to these and, you know, you can find out sausage, it probably wasn't everyone's favorite. I got a bit of feedback about that. So, you know, that we actually, I guess you hadn't noticed. And if everyone didn't notice that I'm doing things somewhat correctly, but I found a way out so that we didn't have to deal with disease because, you know, it might have, you know, if we had listeners who lost someone to it and we were doing this 10 episode arc of
right.
a similar disease, it's not very brilliant at all. In fact, it's probably going to end up hurting a lot of people. So
sure.
I tried to make that shift quickly as possible without making it seem.
I think it worked out.
Done that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think the brevity of it helped. Because
it wasn't going to be brief, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It turned very hopeful very quick, and I think that is kind of what helped that.
Yeah, I agree. Along. I agree with that.
Yeah, but definitely the idea came from that world event, and then the retraction also came. It was like, oh, maybe this isn't a good idea, and so you know,
sure,
yeah,
that way. But yeah.
All right. A question to your designated party leader, Stanley Billings. After listening to 6 hours of epic battle, I wondered why you didn't just use the broom and Nash Dragon to fly away to heaven with the party, plus Stanley's waifu and the glove. Love the show, though.
Stanley's waifu. Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
I heard that. Scott discovering what a waifu was.
Yeah. He did. Live on a podcast. Yeah. It was good.
I have a feeling they heard that too when they wrote this letter. But anyway.
So I definitely had a different idea of how all that fighting was going to go down pretty consistently throughout it. Bo subverted expectations frequently. I also thought the fight was going to start a lot later than it did. It was sort of like we ended an episode and then we started an episode and I thought there'd be prep time, but it was sort of just like, no, we gotta go. And I actually have the ability to conjure a flying mount. I can actually have a Pegasus whenever I want. It just takes 5 minutes to cast. The next thing I knew, we were in a fight, and I was like, well, this would have been a perfect time to have a Pegasus available to me, but I guess that's going to just be forgotten. You know, I was already starting with a, like, this is not going the way I thought it would, and I don't know. It was just trying to staunch the bleeding. That whole fight is what it felt like. It was like, okay, let's just get through this. Oh, it's worse. Okay, let's just get through this. Oh, it's worse. Right. Okay, let's just get through this. Okay. And it was a tough one.
The battle didn't go the way I thought it was going to go either. So that's part of it too. Because I definitely knew about your mount, and I showed you guys the map, but there definitely was a phase two where you guys were mounted flying towards the boats or towards heaven. So I thought that that's what was going to happen. The idea was a little bit like they're going to try and do the handoff. The handoff will be challenged, and then the team will be like, no, we can do this. And then they get on the mounts, and then we have aerial combat. But that it went a different direction. So, and that's not a bad thing. But it definitely, there definitely was contingencies planned on my part for it.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's interesting.
This is a question for Scott, Kyle, Kristen, and John. Do you have a particular high tier active/passive ability you're looking forward to unlocking for your character class when they reach the appropriate level? And if so, what is it and why?
Okay, so this is going to irritate John to death, my answer. Okay. This is going to drive him crazy.
I'm excited.
But this is the truth. I have made a concerted effort since like level 3 to not think too much about that until it happens, because
I'd argue that's shown.
Well, it probably has, but I have leaned into it. Let's say I've leaned into it because I like that feeling of I didn't overprepare for this, or even I made a mistake. Like there's something about that chaos I dig for the way my character plays, the way the campaign plays out. I like to find out the hard way that the thing was maybe the wrong choice. And Bo's gracious enough to let us during these leveling moments to make some changes and stuff when needed. And so that's helped, but I don't think too far ahead about it. Cause I kind of want to discover it in weird real time. I know that doesn't make sense. It's bad for planning. It's totally probably not the way most people would do it, but
But it's organic in a way. Yeah. So kind of like if you're doing a theater production, sometimes you don't read the script before you go for that first read through, just so you can kind of explore the story.
Yeah, it's a
and
little
feel what the first emotions are.
The word organic's a good one. You maybe almost emergent in a way, because a lot can change a character with one good or bad choice. And I don't know. There's things I picked back at level 2 that I still don't use ever. And I need to, rethink some of that. Part of it's because, I've never taken a character this far before, never been this level before in any of the old campaigns I ran as a kid. And that huge swath of time between doing anything in D&D and then playing again was big enough to forget all that. So to me, this is like new territory every time. It's like getting DLC for a video game that I didn't expect. And then I kind of have to suss it out. I don't know. I just kind of like that part of it. I enjoy that.
Yeah, I'd say for me, I had a shift. At the beginning, I definitely was I'm really excited. I want to read things. I had a big plan for Stanley and how he was going to level. He was going to be a College of Swords bard, and he was going to be a big melee fighter, and all sorts of crazy ideas for that guy. And none of those happened. So I kind of got myself to the place where I was like, okay, you need to stop planning too far ahead. Because I'm at the same time, even though I had a plan, I'm going to let the story and what's going on kind of dictate what I do. And so I try not to think too far ahead, because I also don't know if he's going to survive that long. And it'd be a real bummer to be like, oh man, I can't wait for this. And, then he dies. It's happened before. It could happen again. Mm-hmm. But that said, we did talk about it, I think, near the end of the show one time, that at 14th level, I get a thing called Unbreakable Majesty, which is basically Stanley becomes too pretty to hit. And I think that's hysterical sounding. And I'm looking forward to it as a result, because it's just such a What a strange thing that is. Mm. You become so attractive that people are like, I want to hit him, but just so pretty. I'm going to hit something else.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Fighters are kind of plain. That means fighters are pretty straightforward. If you're rolling a character and you don't really want it complicated, fighters are perfect for leveling. That being said, I love going with the crit roll on an 18, 19, or 20. It still doesn't happen all the time, but the fact that it happens more often, mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yeah, nothing quite like it.
Mine's actually almost here. So this level, 11th, which we got today, is Relentless Rage. So whenever I drop to 0 hit points, if I'm raging, I don't outright die. I get to make a Constitution saving throw and keep going if I succeed. Mm. So next level, when we hit feat level, I want to take advantage in Constitution scores so that I can get the crap beat out of me. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Wonder how it interacts with Grosjeal. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure who would get the 0 first. I guess
I think maybe it's a question of deciding and just letting you get, like, you have 2 fail safes. So when you hit 0, you can keep rolling cons. And if that fails, then you can go to Grosjeal.
Yeah, I mean, Grosjeal was a big surprise today. I did not expect that.
You met someone who knows who Grosjeal is. And created the artifact in the first place.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm so excited. Let's see. I realize slowly Nash has been turning more and more into future Nashes. Does it ever make any of you wonder if the first few future Nashes weren't referencing the same, quote, horrible ending, end quote, that the Wall Nash did? Do you think it's possible that there may be something still coming that the future Nash is forewarned of?
The future Nashes are so stupid, but I love them. And
I think future Nash is too is so popular that I would be surprised if it didn't get pulled.
Oh, it has to be
for some reason.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It has to be.
Well, that the hive mind Nash that is still on Earth as last you saw it, right?
Yeah.
Most of the Nashes return to wherever it is they came from, but that Nash is stuck.
Yeah.
So there's at least one that is in the game world that you can find for sure. Well, unless that place blew up, you don't know for sure.
Right.
I don't know. I miss the future Nashes too. They're fun.
They're ridiculous. And I also like them, but.
But you did save, what they were warning against was that device that blew up the Earth. And he did save the Earth. So that was the mission the future Nashes were on. So you don't have a reason to expect you'll be visited by them. But just because you don't expect it doesn't mean it won't happen.
Right. Yeah. Right. I'll just say I'm not trying to force hands or Bo's hand or make him do anything he doesn't want to do, but future Nashes have to come back or else I'd be very sad. I really want to know what my future selves say. I love them.
Nothing.
Look, sometimes Bo takes things away and doesn't give them back, Scott.
It's true. Happens. You're right.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. And some examples.
Oh, I'm sorry about your sword, dude.
The sword, Diantalus, my gold, my bag of holding, the immovable rod.
Yeah, you're just the elf of holding now. We give you all our
but
shit.
I mean, everyone would be a
tiefling companion.
Everyone would be as badly off as you if they cared about objects. Like, you're the only inventory guy out of the four of us.
That's true.
Yeah, like, if Vorel's always tossing stuff away, naturally picks up gross things. Hope is kind of, if it's not evil or really powerful, I don't want it. So, you know, you tend to be the cataloger of items. So you also the most hurt by losing everything. You should have signed up for Geico insurance.
Yeah.
Not sponsored by Geico. As someone relatively new to D&D and getting ready to DM their own campaign, I'd love to know where Scott pulls his Foley work from. Is there a generic soundboard he's using, or are these sound files he's compiled over the years?
A little bit of both. So I have a ton. I'm probably in the tens of thousands of clips I've collected over, since MP3s became a thing, like in 98. I've been collecting MP3s here and there, and I've always been a big fan of, like, sound effects and bed music and just, you know, stuff I can use for different things. And over the last 10 or 15 years, it's really exploded because I use it for so many shows and stuff. So there's a bunch of that. And some of that is just, you know, cool gun sounds. Like whenever Hope does, let's see, let me pull one of these up actually. Hope shoots her gun. This is something I've had this. I've had that forever and ever and ever, probably since the early 2000s. Then there's some other stuff like this bow, as an example, that I got from Tabletop Audio. So there's this website called Tabletop Audio, and I'm a patron of one of them because I really like what they do. Anyway, they have just huge collection of different beds, different sound effects, different scenario themed sets of sounds. So like if you want to do some forest thing, there's a bunch of that. If you want to do, like, I used some stuff today from the Hell Planet one. It sounds like a bunch of demons fighting off in the distance and some weird ominous tones in the foreground. And when Bo was doing his voice to Hope, I kind of had a weird devil voice in the background that was kind of saying nonsense while he was talking, but you know, quiet enough to make Bo the foreground and it the background. I do that stuff all the time from there. It's very good collection of that sort of stuff. And there are other resources out there, but sometimes it's just like, hey, we needed a sound for the Fate 4 honking. I went and found that. And one time it was, we needed an engine sound.
That sound is really funny.
So I went and got this. So that thing sounded cool, and I actually got that from the Mad Max 2015 video game. I just went and captured sound from it. So it's just a mix, like a ton of different stuff. And there's no one, I don't think there's any one size fits all for me. Like, I'd like to have this kind of control, but Tabletop Audio is a great place to start. They have really good stuff, and their music selection there is awesome, and it's all copyright free, so you're not going to get in trouble using it or streaming it or any of that, and it's just there to use.
Nice. Speaking of John missing, not John, Stanley missing all of those things that we lost, does Stanley miss Diantalis? You were bonded for some time, and he did come in handy in some situations, but does Stanley ever have any phantom soul?
This is an interesting question, because before today's episode, I would have been like, not really. Like, Diantalis, like, imagine a dream where you lose agency of yourself and you do something really horrible in your dream and you wake up and you go, oh, thank goodness. Well, it was like just a
kill
dream.
George Miller by stabbing.
Right. But imagine you come to and you did do that and you witnessed it and it was you, and you have to come to terms with the fact that you did something horrible. Like, he doesn't have a ton of fondness for what Diantalis did. But that said, Diantalis and Stanley, they could talk. And they spent a lot of time, obviously not on the show, talking to each other. And I think after this last episode, I might have to think about where Stanley lands. But one of the things that Diantalis was very adamant about was that Stanley's friends would betray him as soon as they had the chance. As soon as something better came along.
No!
And
Diantalis was right. Hashtag.
No.
So I think Stanley, I mean, he was always
hashtag Diantalis did nothing wrong.
I think Stanley might be, this might have been the final push, because Diantalis always told him he would get, trying to be good would get him killed. That happened, that his friends would betray him, if they ever had a better opportunity. That's now happened. Like, the things he was told have all come to pass, and maybe it's at the point where Stanley is like, yeah, this guy was right.
Mm. Oh.
Oh no.
Yeah. New side quest. Free Diantalis.
Oh boy. It's a hashtag.
Well, we know where he is.
Yeah.
John misses him terribly, by the way.
Yeah.
That
was always, you were great as Diantalis for sure.
Yeah. It was fun to watch.
Very fun character to play.
I remember I saw a bit of art of a frog on the There Will Be Dungeons wiki, and so I was convinced that Nash would get a pet frog at some point. Now, I guess it's just a drawing of the Frog Pants logo, but I was so on board for a baby frog Hemoth familiar.
Oh.
That whole arc actually made me wonder if Bo would ever run this for another set of players. Not necessarily as a podcast, but for fun.
Well, here's a few words for Nash before he responds. Okay. One is that you never actually killed that Mega Frog Hemoth.
No.
He unlodged part of his body and left the rest of it on Earth and flew up into space.
Right.
So who knows where he is? Maybe there is a Frog Hemoth homeworld, and I don't know. Maybe you can tame one and keep it as a familiar.
Do I still have the egg?
A baby one. No.
Okay. I can't remember.
You did something with, something untowards with
it. Oh, I'm that's sure. Right. Yeah. I mean, well, and it's
plain. Yeah. If you want to raise one as your own, you could, you're in the center of plains. So you could just be like, Hey, noodle man, do you know where I can find some, you know, baby frog hemoths? And be like, oh yeah, I know a guy who sells poached eggs. Do you want me to hook you up?
Yeah.
And maybe you can get one.
Maybe I'll get one. Yeah. Right now, my familiar is a umbrella dildo I keep with me. So,
yeah. You know, one of your familiars is the baby hand that you have on your back.
Oh, that's right. He ended up turning into.
You don't consult with it very much, but maybe if you ask it its opinion every now and then, it could respond.
Oh, I should do that. Does it have its own? Oh, this is news to me, actually.
It doesn't have a mouth, but it can do hand signals like, should I go through that door? And your baby hand can be like,
does it have its own? It's its own autonomy. Then it can make its own decisions.
We kept it vague. Yeah, it, technically, yes, you're in control of it. And you do things with it, but you haven't tried it yet. So
okay, this is good. I'm writing that down. Making a note.
Maybe it's still you, but you could pretend to everyone else it's a familiar. So you're like, "Hey, Han, should we go through that door?" And then you just play out this weird act for people.
That's two votes for yes.
Yeah. So you could lie to everyone, say, oh, it's a sentient hand, but really it's not. It's you controlling it for your own silly reasons.
Yeah. My Nash reasons. That's a good point.
No, it's not sentient.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Is the team ever going to have a game of Blood Ball?
Oh, man. People still ask about Blood Ball.
I'm still sad we didn't play Blood Ball. I would love to play Blood Ball at some point, but the stadium is now a park.
I mean,
that's right. The Blood Ball field is gone, but maybe they have one in Principal City. I don't know.
I would play. I would like to finally see what your version of that is, how we roll for stuff. Like, that would be interesting to me.
Yeah.
After, especially after you did the big fighter freaking marionette fighting thing.
The thing I was looking forward to the most, because you were obviously going to be power players on a team full of crappy players.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're out, the punishment is you have to take it. So you have to let someone from the other team hit you with a baseball bat,
mm-hmm.
and you can't flinch. If you flinch, you lose a point,
mm-hmm.
and it's a penalty as well.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to, you have to take a hit. So I can just imagine these poor suckers who get out and they've got to stand there and let these, guzzle gang people with baseball bats just hit them anywhere they want in the body, mm. in the nose, in the ear. You can't lift your hands up to defend. You just have to take it. Just imagine watching someone getting pummeled with a baseball bat right in the nose and they can't defend or dodge or anything.
Oof. That's also, Blood Ball? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I also really wish we had gotten to see, it was thrown out as a brief idea, the cheating version of Blood Ball, where we were going to get an army of pixies to cheat for our team and do like Angels in the Outfield thing with a bunch of pixies helping our team win.
Wow, I'm in for your weird idea.
You know, I've been having those, like, you know how you have sweet memories or nostalgic memories of family moments and stuff.
Sure,
like mm-hmm. that's happening in our D&D game.
Yeah, it is, right?
Good old days. Remember 26th block?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, rippers!
Isn't that where I killed a guy with sleep? Fell asleep and fell out of his
thing. Yeah, out the window. Yep.
I killed a man in trash dirt just to watch him.
Just watch him fall asleep and fall off the edge. All right. Well, that puts us at time. Well done, everybody. These are great. And we don't get great questions without you guys leaving them. So if you go to the website, there's a form right there. You just send them. It's super easy. You can go do that right now over at therewillbedungeons.com. It's right there on the page. Don't even have to give us your real name. You can just whip it out, hit send, and you're done. And here we are with your questions for our next bonus episode, which will be next month. We hope you're all doing well and doing okay. If you have any questions for us in the meantime, and you know where to find us, therewillbedungeons.com. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your help. That's going to do it for us, for all of us, to all of you. We'll see you next time.
If you need anything, just yell, Walnut!